So, with respect to citizen comments, we do have a limit of 5 minutes. Any citizen comments? All right, seeing none, then we'll move on. I have no reports, and we'll go on to committee reports. Are there any?
Oh, I thought I would interrupt the committee with the light being dysfunctional.
Anyway, are there any reports from committee members? All right, seeing none, then we'll review the minutes of November 19th. Are there any additions?
I'll break the minutes.
All right, there's a motion to approve and second.
Second.
Anything else? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
They are passed. And number six, extension, Teddy.
Good evening. I have a piece to distribute for you. Our budget modification request tonight is to increase our revenues to accommodate for a new project that we're undertaking. This is the college questionnaire we've used for several years with our program called Youth Quest. We've taken this document, which is a paper pencil document, and created it into an app for a mobile device so that ideally a student would purchase the app, or their parent would purchase the app, and as they're making their college visits, they're inputting information around these characteristics as they make their college visits. The whole idea is that you'd be able to compare apples to apples, such that if you've gone to more than one school visit, you could put all the information in, you get a printout or a spreadsheet would come back to your mobile device listing those characteristics. So our process has been done with Sweet Imagery. They're our app developer. And as we move forward, they will post this or launch this as an app for sale on the Google Play Store and iTunes. And so in anticipation of people purchasing the app, we're going to increase our revenues by $1,000. And I would be delighted to say I brought in $1,000 by a sale of an app.
How much are they?
Well, we haven't priced it quite yet. We're thinking it's probably going to be either 99 cents or $1.99. The advice we've been getting is if you price it higher and it's not sold, you can always reduce the price. So we're kind of thinking start a little and then see what happens. But
yeah, I just have one question. You're getting the money from Sundry Department Reserve?
Revenue,
I mean?
Yeah, that's where all of our revenue is. Did it say reserve is revenue?
Okay. What is that category? Are we going to lose anything by taking that out of there?
Oh no, actually that's for us to increase it if the money comes in. I had to have some place to deposit the money if the app is sold.
Oh, so you're basically this is.
I'm being very optimistic.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
So this isn't revenue neutral. It's we're authorizing $1,000, and then.
No, only if money comes in. Yeah. We are not going to spend a dime unless we bring money.
Well, do you have 1,000 people lined up to do this?
I'm going to have. We're going to do a marketing.
Yeah.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Right. And this just, Laura, this is just for the committee. It does not go to the board, right?
Yes. And I'll make sure you all get the first chance to purchase it, okay, for all your children and grandchildren.
Next item is the appointment of Dr. Radmer to the Civil Service Commission, and this is a reappointment, correct?
Yes. Dr. Radmer has been on the Civil Service Commission since 1998. He's a well-known oral surgeon in area. He also is now the chairman of the Civil Service Commission, replacing Paul Trombino, who was chairman for more than 20 years. And I urge your support to keep Tom Radmer on the Civil Service Commission.
Approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
It passes unanimously. We'll circulate these out. And then we have the appointment of Dean Noel Shear to the Library Board.
Also a reappointment, Mr. Chairman. He is a retired Kenosha Unified School District teacher, and he's been on the board for 19 years. Mr. Shear is a is a valued member of the Library System Board and deserves your support.
Move to approve.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you. And then a resolution on dedication of certain roads.
I just need to pass out a plan sheet to, it's very difficult to understand what I'm going to explain without a diagram in front of you, so. Basically, what this resolution does is accepts a piece of property as Kenosha County, under Kenosha County ownership. This involves a development out at the intersection of Highway S and H in the Village of Summers. First Industrial is currently developing a site for a, currently it's a distribution center. There's future expansion that's also going to occur at that site. As part of their engineering study of the roadways, they determined that it would not be possible for semi-trucks to make, safely make one of the turns at the intersection of Highway S and H. So as part of the development agreement that First Industrial had with the Village of Summers, they were required to make an improvement to the intersection to accommodate semi-truck movements safely. So there was insufficient right-of-way at that intersection to construct the appropriate turning radius. So they have negotiated with the property owner to purchase some additional land for right-of-way. That land will be turned over to the county by deed. So we will become the owner of that land, and First Industrial will do the improvements necessary at the intersection. All of this is at no cost to the county. And a secondary benefit of this is that we do have a future improvement project at this intersection for a complete reconstruction. So at that time, this land would be necessary for the county to purchase. So it's something that we'll won't be required to do in the future. And so there's a benefit now, and there's a benefit in the future, and I would recommend that the resolution be approved.
Jeff, what are you looking to get it done?
This needs to be completed prior to the current building being occupied, and their schedule is late spring, early summer of this year.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Yes, sir. I think it's a good idea. One quick note on the building, you know, on the other corner, so off topic. I know, is the right of way there not big enough? Just looking at it?
Yeah, the there is obvious constrictions by that building, and that whole situation is going to be addressed in when our project is completed in. Currently scheduled for 2019, but we're well aware of the site issues associated with that building, and we're going to resolve it at that time.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Passes.
Thank you.
John, are you taking the next item, the snowmobile trail?
Actually, that'll be on me.
All right.
Good evening.
Hello.
For all that I have not had the pleasure of saying hello to, I'm Assistant Parks Director Matthew Collins.
And I'm Ron Frederick on the county board, and maybe everybody else can introduce themselves.
All right. Aaron?
I'm Aaron Kohlmeyer.
Pleasure to meet you.
Jeff Gibbs.
Terry Rose.
John O'Day.
April Webb.
Andy Crando.
He's our student in government.
Hi.
Good evening. So the first.
Now there's a quiz on that.
So the first resolution I have in front of you is to approve for the Kenosha County Snowmobile Trail. This approves the DPW to submit the application to the DNR for financial aid, signed documents, and any other actions required to complete this project. It's 100% refundable for the amount of $19,225.
All right, any
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
And then the next item is the Migratory Bird Day Proclamation.
That is correct. So this is an annual resolution in order to maintain our status that for September 17th, 2016, International Migratory Bird Day in Kenosha County. So this is an annual resolution, like I said, to maintain our bird city status.
Okay. Discussion, Jeff?
Do we gain anything by this status?
It's basically, I think it's up to 90 municipalities now within the state of Wisconsin have this status. So I would say that it's best practice for our state to have the status, and that's where a lot of our municipalities and counties are going towards. So we're well ahead of the curve by having the status.
Further discussion? Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
All right, motion to approve. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes? Okay, good, thank you.
For the record, before we go on to the next item, I saw a bald eagle on fairway number 8 about 5 years ago at Pets.
So that's why you're sporting?
Right, yeah.
Okay, good.
5 years ago.
5 years ago?
All right, Human Services, budget modification. Who is doing? Okay.
This is just a budget modification that doesn't have to be approved by the Finance Committee, but because it is covered by a resolution that was enacted through the 2016 budget resolution, but because of the dollar amount, we wanted to make a report of it. So basically, it should go with the other budget modifications that have been already posted that didn't need Finance Committee approval as well. So I'll be passing it out with the other budget modifications.
The chairman was asking mechanically, why does this not need to come in? And there's language in the budget resolution that allows these revenue adjustments to be made without bringing them back. And maybe you could just read that language.
Sure. So within the budget resolution, we adopted the establishment of the appropriation unit as it attached. And the establishment of the appropriation unit states that within the human service budget, in instances where intergovernmental revenue exceeds the established appropriation unit, the finance and administrative director shall be authorized to increase the appropriation in the event that the original intent of this service has not changed and to which are fully funded by intergovernmental revenue. This should apply only to the types of intergovernmental revenue that are currently approved in the budget and shall not be used to create a new program.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Explain that to me in layman's terms.
I'll let Laura give it a try.
So basically,
I have a cold, so I'm not tracking as well as I should.
Okay.
I mean, and obviously I voted for that, so I want to know to what intergovernmental transfer, to what level, and where does the money come from to go there?
It is additional funding for a BOLI activity approved within the 2016 budget, and it's a budget modification to actually record that money that we're receiving to provide those services. So we're increasing expense, but we're increasing revenue as well.
Okay, so he has the authority to do this without it coming to the Finance Committee because it's a specific program that's already been named?
Yes, you got it.
All right.
You're pretty much hitting right on the distance there. It's
right.
The program is
okay.
Already approved.
All right.
It's just
it's
a revenue.
That makes me feel
it's a
good.
Tweet.
All right, good. Thank you.
You got it.
All right, thank you. Are the bills being circulated?
Let me circulate
the bills.
Did we vote
on that?
No.
Do we need to receive it?
No, we need to hold it or anything?
I'm going to send around all the budget modifications, and it'll be included within for your review.
And no action is required on that either.
Okay.
We'll circulate these bills. If you have any questions, of course, you can interrupt and ask. Otherwise, we'll go into the reports from the finance.
I'll ask Laura to present the general fund report.
Sure. If you could pass this around, I appreciate it.
Come on, come on.
Thanks.
Does everybody have one?
Yep.
Okay. So we're predicting basically about a 26% increase over our forecast that was given in November. The major drivers of that include some additional surpluses that we have in supplies for highway as
Laura,
well.
Let me stop you for a second. We got a couple extra reports. Anyone want to see them? No? Okay. Thank you. Sorry, Laura.
No, that's okay. An increase in sales tax revenue again. We have some child support revenue that we're expecting to have additional surplus revenue for. Under vacancies, the vacancy deficit decreased just a little bit. Health insurance deficit grew.
Go back to that sales tax revenue.
Sure.
How much is it? Is this? Am I reading this right?
Yeah, it's based on 10 months worth of actuals, 2 months worth of estimates.
So it's over budget by how much?
Approximately $2 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With two months to go yet.
We haven't got the report yet.
So where is that going, in a general fund eventually, or what?
It is a surplus that by board policy lapses to the general fund.
Yeah. Right?
Of course, it offsets some of these other deficits too.
Not that much.
Well,
where are you hiding it?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so to pick up where I left off, under the items that caused decreases to general fund, we saw an increase of the insurance, health insurance deficits due to large claims still. There's a little bit of workman's comp due to increased claim activity. The Department of Human Service deficit came down quite a bit. It was at 360, now it's at 105. That was according to Lori's report just this month. And the sheriffs, although the sheriffs did, their deficit did increase quite a bit. Well, about 100.
What was their estimate before? I don't recall.
Well, 500. Now we're up to 620.
And why is that?
Overtime. That was not offset by the salary surpluses.
What's the reason for the overtime?
Well, I believe we've been going around and around about that, that we're going to have a study done to identify, but...
But why is it $100,000, actually it's $120,000 more mm-hmm. than originally reported?
Those were the main drivers of that. It was the overtime.
But we don't know why there's more overtime?
I have some indications of what
vacancies.
They...
I mean, what is the
source? Well, I think that's really an excellent question, and it is a question we explored quite a bit last year. And we, as part of our evaluation of the class and comp, the thing, just to refresh our memories here, where personnel is working with payroll and with our consultant, and a significant piece of that is an evaluation of the overtime circumstance, right, Bob? So, Laura gave you an abbreviated answer, but we are taking a deep dive into that. We're actually working on that, and we will be able to bring a much better answer after we finish that evaluation.
So. On a side note, though, inmate revenue is on. We're on track with that. So
I was going to ask this, so it's pretty much like flat, would you say, out of this?
Yeah, we don't have any surpluses. We don't have a big deficit coming in where we thought it would, approximately $5.5 million.
No, the general fund is coming in at $1 million surplus on this forecast.
On this forecast.
We're going from $15 million to $16 million.
Correct.
Which is 25%.
Yeah, we're now at 25%. We're at about where we need to be for the AAA.
Right.
Overtime in the sheriff's department comes in because we're understaffed, or people are being absent, or we got more people on sick leave, or what?
Those are a lot of the reasons why. Yeah, and Bob's doing a really granular, in-depth evaluation, working with payroll, and we're going to pin that down really, really in a granular way. Those are things that cause that to happen. You mentioned three. There's other things that cause it to happen. But let us do this evaluation and then bring the report in.
All right.
When do you think that will be?
We promised it by the end of the first quarter, and we're on track for that.
Okay.
Q1.
All right. Anything else on the general fund issue? All right, thank you. And now you're going to use this.
Sure. Yeah. What I wanted to do was we sent these reports out. There was it's a one-page summary of the city TID reports. One from guesstimate of year on 14, and the other one year on 15. So I'm going to pause a minute and see if you can find those reports.
If you don't have it, then we have some extra copies. I don't think.
We have some extra copies. I'm just going to wait a minute so we can get this these reports in front of you, then I'll talk. Does everyone have the report? Okay, I'll start talking about it. First, I'll refresh our memories on 15 or 2014. The report that says 9/5/14, and if you just look at the bottom line, it shows the estimate at year end of 14, the city would have $661 million in TIF districts. And it shows, if you look at the last collection year, that's really the year that they would retire the TID. And so you can see TID 11 retiring in 19. That's putting $75 million back on the general tax rolls, and then right on through 2024, okay, with TID 5, which would be $91 million. So that was 14, all right? Now look at 2015, and you can see that number, that $660 million, is just shy of $700 million. So because of the economy, because of the economic recovery, that number is increasing. And I did have a meeting with the city, and they did a nice report, and this is a summary of that report, and they walked us through the status of their TID, and they do expect a valuation increase again this year, so that $693 million should click up again at the close of 2016. So the city TIDs, the values are going up. Now, if you look at the last collection year, you can see that it moved around a little bit, but not too bad. But it did push back some of the retirement dates. The TID 11, they're actually expecting that to come back on the tax rolls in 2018. So that one's a year earlier. But then you can see three of the TIDs got moved from 2020 to 2021, and then the 2023 ones all got moved to 2024, and one actually got moved out, TID 4 actually got moved out to 2025, and there's a lot of things happening. So for example, the growth in the Amazon, the value wasn't as high as the original forecast. So because the value is lower, it takes an extra year to retire the debt on that, to collect enough increment to pay off the debt. So, but still, in general, it looks like they're keeping with a fairly good timeline of closing these TIDs out and getting them back on the tax roll. You just see a whole bunch of them rolled into 2021. So, from a summary standpoint, it looks like they're on track. It looks like they're doing pretty well. One of the TIDs will be retired earlier. Some of the TIDs will be retired later, but just 1 year later. So that's a nutshell summary of where the city is with their TIDs. As far as legislative update, there is a whole flurry of legislative activity, but the main thing we talked about in our committee was pushing the limit that a municipality can incur in TID from a 12% of total equalized value to 15% of total equalized value. That legislation at this point has not been approved.
What would that affect? How?
Well, the reason, one of the issues that it related to, as far as it affects us, is the city, when they did Amazon, that Amazon was such a significant value that it would outstrip their 12%. You know, they would go above the 12%, couldn't do any more TIF, because not only did the TIF go up, but the whole value of the city went up. You know, the $4 to $5 billion went up enough. So their value went up enough so that they don't need the 15% anymore. They can still achieve their TIF goals without getting that 15%. Now, they still support the 15%. The state has not approved the 15%. It hasn't gotten to the floor yet for any action. I don't know if it will. It was probably the most controversial of all the provisions. But, you know, legislatively, that's where that is now. But as far as it affects us, again, the city was pushing for that originally, but now their value has climbed enough where they don't really need it. So they would like to see it get approved, but it's not necessary, and it will not restrict their TID activity. So I think that's like a nutshell summary, but really hits all of the issues that we've been talking about in committee relative to TID. So,
are any of these termination dates, have they been earlier? In other words, have they been moved once before?
So between 14 and 15, you can see the movement. My recall is that from going from 13 back, they didn't really have an analysis that I looked at. I know that several of the TIDs, like this TID downtown, what was expected to be retired much sooner, and you know what happened with that because of the what happened with the Great Recession. The values declined here, they weren't getting enough increment, and they had to keep TID 1 open longer and move those increments to fund the deficit in this TID. So, if you know, historically, if you go back, this downtown TID was the major one that was delayed significantly from the originally contemplated retirement date. So that's the most material TID relative to the question you asked. Yeah, that one would be retired later than originally contemplated.
Which one is that?
TID 4. So you can see TID 4 is the last one to be retired.
Can they continue to do that? Just advance the date and never put it back on?
Well, there is a limit. In some instances, you can go out 23 years, and then there's certain circumstances you can go out 27 years. So once you hit those limits, you can't go further. You cannot go further. TID 1 is an exception. That one was allowed to go from 1979 till 2020. That was special legislation.
What is that?
Yeah, what is
that? That's the business park of Kenosha. So that's they call it BPOC 1 and BPOC 2. Where, you know, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. So. Discussion?
I have a challenge for you, Dave. I want you to explain, tell the youth of governance what it is. And I just wanted to tell the youth of governance what a TID is, and in a brief summary, how it works.
Okay. TIT stands for Tax Incremental Finance District. It's the number one tool used in Wisconsin for economic development. What happens is this, a business park, for example, will get approval through the city for, or Pleasant Prairie or one of the local municipalities here. They'll approve it. And once it goes through all of the approval processes, any business in that business park will still pay the full amount of property taxes that it otherwise would pay. But instead of the property taxes going to pay for schools or for county or for the city, it goes to pay off most of the time bonds that are sold to put in the infrastructure in the business park, like the roads and the sewer and all the rest of that stuff. So that's the simplest explanation I can think
Appreciate
of. Was it brief enough?
That was good.
Should I go a little longer?
No, you're good.
But everybody has to, all governments have to agree to it first.
So. Right. Once it goes through all the approvals, it requires, I can talk about the approval process.
No, you don't have to.
All right, okay.
All right, very good. Thank you.
For a little bit different additional information, can we get from the city what these are consisting of, each, other than the number?
I'll bring
what it actually does consist of?
I'll bring a map in that shows what each one is. Is that what you're asking for? That says, you know, this one was for the harbor part.
Right.
This one was for BPOC. I have a map. I'll bring it into the next meeting.
The museum is one of them, too.
The museum is funded with TIP, you're right. Well, part of it is funded.
They may pay for it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, that completes the TIP report. Now, I want to say CABA, that the third, I'm not going to say a lot about CABA, so we won't take a lot of your time. I know you have another agenda item that may be time-consuming. But for CABA, the third quarter report, you got the third quarter report, so you received that, so you complied with our rule. But rather than having CABA come in and make an in-person report on that, since the fourth quarter is going to be available in February, I said, just come on in February and you can give us the whole big picture for the whole year. So they'll make an in-person report in February, and I hope that's okay with the committee. I think it's actually better for you to get that. The other thing I want to give you a heads up on is we want to make a tweak to the Kenosha County Revolving Loan Fund in order to make it more possible to use it for economic development. And a lot of these, that particular one was subject to state and federal laws. So what we want to do is harmonize it so we take advantage of any changes that were made in state and federal law to make it more possible to use it to lend out. The county contract, for example, has a 4% minimum on loans. Well, you know, today a 4% minimum on a loan doesn't really do you much good. So the state and federal law would permit us to reduce that so we can actually use the money for economic development. There's a few other tweaks we'll make. I think they're relatively minor. The main one is that it makes it more feasible for us to use the funds to lend. But I don't want to get a lot into it. We'll do it in a lot more detail, and we'll have papers and reports in front of you ahead of time in advance that you can study and ask questions about. But I just wanted to give you an advance heads up that it will be part of the CABA report, and they will request action on that. There'll be a resolution. It'll be a resolution that the committee can consider, and then the board would have to approve that if it's favored by the committee. So, other than
that, you don't give that out at the committee meeting.
No. It needs to go out in the packet. We already have some of the stuff, but it all needs to get put together. It needs to get reviewed by court counsel and approved by the exec before coming to the board too. So there's a few pieces we have to get done. Now, other than that, the rest of these reports are just for your information only, and unless you had any questions, that I think that concludes our reports. Did anyone else have any more?
These are the budget modifications.
Oh, okay. This is what you were talking about earlier, which is a routine thing I think you're familiar with. So that
is normal.
All right. That
That
concludes the reports, and we're now at number 15. The chair would entertain a motion to go into closed session to consider
Excuse me, will there be a public comment?
That's passed.
Okay. You started the meeting early, though, so...
No, we didn't. We started at 6:30.
Based on my clock?
Based on the time, it was 6:30.
The time on the clock is...
I'm not going to argue with you. We've gone past...
The time on the computer is the correct time. You started 2 minutes early.
No.
I know I was here at 6:30. No. You started the meeting early. Ask Corp Counsel if you can start a meeting before 6:30. You can't.
We didn't.
Well, why, what are you afraid of in a public comment?
I'm not.
Then allow the public comment because you started the meeting early.
If the committee wishes...
Look at the clock.
Just a minute. Be quiet.
I make a motion that we let him speak.
All right. Is there a second?
Oh, second.
Is there a discussion? Seeing none, we'll have a roll call. Ron?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. He's limited to 5 minutes like the rules.
John?
Okay.
Aye. All right.
Thanks. First of all, I just want to follow up on your last employee discipline that you decided here. You decided to make the employees whole, Kristen Swift and Coretta Collins.
No way. Yeah, no, I'm going to rule you out of order. We have specifically ruled on that issue.
Right.
We're not going to...
And the award hasn't been implemented.
Quiet, please. We're not going to be discussing details of the what was done or who was involved. And I'll have to cut you off.
Okay, I won't mention their names again. All I'm saying is that their award was not implemented.
But will you respect the rules or not?
Yes, I will not mention their name. The award that you agreed to was not implemented by the personnel department. The employees did not receive their full back pay. They did not receive the 1.5% across the board raise.
Do you think this is proper or not?
The question is, how come?
Yeah, why are you stopping me from talking?
It's enough for us to decide.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So the award you gave them was to make them whole. The personnel department did not make them whole. They did not receive their full amount of back pay. They did not receive the 1.5% across the board raise that the rest of the employees received. If they were working, they would have received that raise. One of the employees did not receive their anniversary raise because they were unemployed at the time because they were terminated for 7 months. They also, in their back pay was reduced based on the cost of their health insurance, which they did not receive during that 7 months. They also, they received their vacation time, but they were told by Mr. Riedel that they were not allowed to use their vacation time before the end of the year and that their vacation time would be either rolled over or cashed out. 92 hours for one of the employees was neither rolled over, and they were told that it would not be cashed out. So those employees have not been made whole. That's my first problem. Second, is you still do not have a grievance procedure that that complies with state statutes. So I'd encourage you, I thought at this meeting, you mentioned that you were going to be discussing changes to the grievance procedure. There's a letter here from Martha De La Rosa. She's the state director for 9to5 Wisconsin. I'm encouraging you to change your grievance procedure so it is fair to all employees. I won't go into the details of the case. You received my letter and I hope you read it. But there is a discriminatory policy at the county that the county leaders are saying has been changed. Basically, female correctional officers are being forced to work mandatory overtime in both the male and female sides of the jail. Male correctional officers are only forced to work on the male side of the jail. I know that there's a state law that allows females to work on the male side, but there's no state law that allows women to be mandated more often than men for the same job. So I'd encourage you to make sure that female correctional officers are treated the same as male correctional officers at the jail moving forward. And I'd also encourage you to find in favor of this employee and reduce her suspension. This is the second time in a row that the county has chosen the same independent hearing officer. The first time he left out information and he fabricated information that happened at the hearing. The same thing has happened again. I can prove everything that I wrote in my response to you. If there's any questions, I would encourage you to bring them up with me because I will prove every single line of that. I know the personnel director has already questioned some of it. I know I'm not allowed to talk to you about the case, but Mr. Rose, after I sent my email, contacted me on accident asking me to call him, thinking that I was Mr. Riedel. So Mr. Riedel is definitely having conversations with this committee beyond the scope of the IHO, so you are making decisions based on items that are outside of the scope of the independent hearing officer's decision. So I would encourage you in the future for these types of cases to allow as much public comment as you will for both the county and the employee side, because right now it's a one-way street where the county has unlimited ability to speak to this committee and the employees are limited based on the subject matter of their speech. So I am offended by that, and I think all the employees are. So thank you very much.
All right, Chair would entertain a motion to go into closed session.
I think we've already moved that. Second.
All right. And who do you want present?
Who is to remain?
I I mean, generally speaking, when we go into closed session, it's simply, well, for item 15, I think item 15 can be members of the committee and staff as the committee deems fit. Mr. Moyer.
All right. So the proposal that I would suggest is that we go into closed session with those people he has named for the purposes of discussing the Superfund hazardous waste disposal settlement. Yeah, I think we have to do that motion. John's motion proposes the motion. Is there a second?
Well, I'm just confused on the motion because I understand we have two items in the session.
Am I wrong? We do. That's the second.
Then I think that if we're going into closed session, then we got to go into closed session for both.
No, I agree.
Okay. So,
and for that, the second one would be permitted to re-enter for that one.
Actually, if anything, the second
let's hold it a second. Hold it a second. One of them, if we're going into closed session pursuant to section 1985-1G, and the second one is we're going into closed session for section 1985-1B.
I think we should have two motions.
I think,
and that's why I suggested
motion for both.
Yeah,
and let Joel guide us on that. Right. Yeah.
So let's do with the one I suggested, the motion on the Superfund, and you, John, you had made that to close session to discuss that settlement, and he has named those who should be present. You want to do that once again? Who would be present?
Like I said, my understanding for closed session is that it is members of the committee, which includes for these purposes the youth and governance. And then staff as designated by the committee. Mr. Moyer is going to be presenting this one. It deals at least indirectly with parks, so I think Mr. Rudy can stay. I certainly think that Mr. Geertsen can stay.
All right.
I'm not kicking myself out.
You think governance can stay then, right?
Yeah. My understanding is that the arrangement that we have with that program is as long as they are cognizant of the fact that these are closed sessions.
Everything is confidential.
And everything spoken about is confidential. They can remain.
All right. Discussion on that proposal, Jeff.
I have a question as to whether we're going to go into open session in between them procedurally.
No.
We're just going to make a second motion.
Correct.
While we're in closed session. Okay.
When we're not in closed session, yeah. We're in open session right now.
We're in open session yet. So I think we have, is there a motion on the floor yet?
Yes. John made? No, it's very simple.
It hasn't been seconded yet.
Yes, it was.
But did we use
seconded
the statute?
So I have Ron.
That's why we're making two motions. It's very simple. Let's keep it clear.
I made the motion.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so the motion is, so read the motion back to us so we know.
The motion is to go into closed session for the purposes of discussion of the proposed settlement of the Superfund hazardous waste disposal litigation. And that's pursuant to section 19.85 subsection 1G. Those present are members of the committee, youth and governance, John Rudy, and the two as corporation councils.
Okay.
And the finance director.
So if we're only going into closed,
and we're going to vote on that, and then we will take up the second issue. Then we will be in closed session on those two things. And I'm considering this in open session right now. They left, but that's up to them.
Okay, now,
this is open right now.
You should open the door.
If we're going to go into closed session for the first one, which is 1985-1G.
Yes.
And then we got to have a separate motion to go into closed session for 1985-1B?
Yes, that's what I'm proposing.
So shouldn't we just take them both at one time?
We just talked about that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear him say the statute on both of them. I just want to make sure. Read it back to me now.
No.
Read the motion back to me.
Terry.
You want me to restate it?
Terry's.
No, I want you to read it.
Well, I'll be listening to the tape to get it correct in the minutes.
Okay.
What I said was that the proposal that John made, that we're going to go into closed session.
Okay.
To discuss the proposed settlement of certain litigation, which is called Superfund Hazardous Waste Disposal Settlement, pursuant to section 19.85, subsection 1G. And that those present would include members of the committee, the two members of youth and government, the two corporation councils, the finance director, and the parks director.
Okay, so now my question on that motion is then you can't discuss the other one because you didn't go into closed session for that one.
Yeah, we're going to make a second motion.
Yeah, but you can't do that in closed session.
We're not in closed session yet.
But we.
This is a motion to go into closed session.
Okay, so you're going to do both of them.
Yeah, what?
But once you make that, pass that motion for the first one, you're in closed session, period.
Well.
Terry, would you like me to take a try?
If you want me to do this, I can do this too. Why don't I do this?
I got in trouble a few years ago because we didn't do it right, and I'm not doing it wrong now, especially with all the pressure that's on some of these things. So I'm going to withdraw my second, and I'll make a motion. If you withdraw your motion, I'll draw my second, or because I want to cover both of these at one time.
Go ahead.
In open session.
In open session.
Yeah, this is open session.
Okay. So the motion, if he withdraws his motion, I'll withdraw the motion, John? You've got to do both of them.
Just go ahead and make the motion.
He withdrew it.
We're going to closed session for the Superfund, 1985 1G, and also employee displacement and rules of discussion of employee discipline appeal and rules of disciplinary hearing, reception to 1985 1B.
Second.
So we've got both of them on now. We've covered both of them.
Okay. And who's present?
First one, the Superfund, we can keep those present that were already stated.
Sure.
For the second one, those present is reduced to who?
The committee and myself.
Just you, okay. The council. So then, and we're allowed to keep the recording secretary.
Yes. Yeah.
So the recording secretary and corp counsel and the committee is all that can remain for the second close.
And the reason I suggest that we make sure
is that correct?
Details because
there's
a lot of pressure on both of those. So, I'm not trying to make any trouble here. I'm just trying to.
So, but Ron, in your motion, you know, who's present for one?
Exactly.
We have a bigger group present for the first one, and then the second one, the only one that's left is Joel and April.
Okay, right.
All right, discussion on the proposal? Seeing then, all those in favor?
No, we need a roll call.
I'm going to do that. Ron?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Sorry. All right, we are now in closed session. We'll go with the Superfund issue.
Hold on.
Let's give April a minute to switch the tape over.
2 years ago, I almost went to jail. I'm not going again because somebody could.